Good evening. Welcome to a special event. This is Cat Space. I'm Cat. This is Buckets. Joining us is Leon and Luna. Good evening. Evening.
Evening.
Before we start, I'd like to say please, please, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel. It really does help us a lot. And like, leave us some comments and click on that bell for more content. Tonight's conversation or topic is called Australia. The campaign begins. Question one, I'll throw to Leon. What should be the main focus?
Well, the main focus definitely needs to be the cost of living at the moment because everything is going up. And it does seem like the Prime Minister at the moment is not focused on the cost of living. He's focused on everything but the cost of living at the moment. That's number one. Anything else, unfortunately, is number two. But cost of living's definitely got to be the top priority at the moment.
Luna. What should be the main focus?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Leon on this one. But I also think that education needs to really be re-examined and refocused into a more what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe a more like helpful future. Do you know what I mean? There needs to be, I really think a focus should be adding in some sort of classes or something like that along the lines of survival skills, paying taxes, paying helping out your community, stuff like that, stuff to start getting us involved and better community type stuff. It needs to really be looked upon. We don't really have that in Australia, I don't think, but community can really help people thrive. And unfortunately, a lot of our youngsters and our youth, I think, have that trouble with connection, just as I think I did when I was their age. And yeah, I think it really should be looked upon.
Buckets, what should be the main focus?
Okay, also obviously I agree with Leon that inflation is a massive problem, but specific things about inflation. So I would say that the rent increase without a rental freeze is a major issue. I think that Labor's plan to build all these houses to try and flood the market as a means to lower the rent just isn't going to work based off principle. It'll work in every other industry, like the diamond industry, for example, but it won't work in housing because everyone's going to want housing no matter what.
Survival thing, exactly.
That's one thing. As far as Luna's comment, the thing is about Australia's community services is there's heaps of community services available. The problem is that most people don't know they actually exist and therefore they don't access them. And millions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars have been flooded within the Aboriginal communities and everything. But a lot of the time, those communities are just unaware that these services even exist. So maybe that's the thing that we need to concentrate is that not only does this service exist for you, but you can take full advantage of this. So that's, I think, that's a major issue that maybe the government needs to focus on and also help more people during rural areas. I think that's a big one.
For me, I agree with all of you. Mine is short and sweet. One, inflation, i.e., stop the supermarkets from gouging customers and price hiking food and groceries. Two, work. There needs to be more work out there. Three, the cost of building these houses. It's going to cost us billions. Four, freezing the rental cap and the rent. Five, building more hospitals and placing more hospital beds and doctors and nurses into where they should be. There's a lot of doctors and nurses that are sleeping, aren't even allowed to sleep on the job. They go home tired, they're burnt out, they're exhausted. They don't even pay our teachers enough. We're seeing an overcrowding of teacher strikes. And I think helping the farmers to bring home Australian produce, and that's not even working. I mean, it's hard enough. People are having to spend money three or four different ways just to make ends put food on the table. I think that's what should be the main focus. Second question is, what is the likelihood that Warren Mundine will flip parties to secure a political position, Leon?
I don't know about it. I don't know if it's going to make that much of a difference, even if Warren Mundine does flip and say joins the LNP or whatever. I think it's going to make a significant difference. But I th- well, I Warren Mundine is obviously a respected Indigenous member of Parliament. There's also a few others as well that are respected in Indigenous members of Parliament. Jacinta Price is a major one as well. So having, say, Jacinta Price and also Warren Mundine on the same team, it will definitely be significant in order for Peter Dutton and the LNP to obviously to take over from the ALP, which at the moment does seem to be like they could be facing one term in Parliament. But Warren Mundine is definitely a major, it'd definitely be a major domino. I think it might be a major domino in that deal.
Luna, what is the likelihood that Warren Mundine will flip parties to secure a political position?
So I guess I really haven't been keeping up too much with it, but speaking on his character, and just as Leona said, he's a big voice. Do you know what I mean? He really is, and he's got a lot of power, and he's got a lot of popularity too. So in any move that he does, I believe that whatever happens, it will make a bit of a ripple effect happen. So yeah, what more can I speak about his character?
It's a tricky one, and I tell you why. The thing is, we have had politicians like Peter Garrett, who everyone remembers working or being the lead singer for Midnight Oil, who worked for the Greens parties and then flipped sides to the Labour Party. But he was on the left. To ask Warren Mundine, who was the president of the finances for the Labour Party, to flip to the Liberal Party hasn't really been done in a while. The Liberal Party have a habit, or have been, the one thing that's kind of continuous with the Liberal Party is that they don't like to backstab each other too many times. It's only really happened once or twice in history. The Labour Party have backstabbed each other many of times, at least five times. It could happen. If Warren Mundine was to flip and join the Liberal Party, and the Liberal Party made a deal to say, we would actually make you deputy minister or even minister of Aboriginal Affairs on our side, okay, I tell you right now, everyone would just vote in the Liberal Party, because they would go, okay, because Warren Mundine, he's an absolute powerhouse. And not only he's a very brave man, because he had to go against his own kind, but he with Jacinta Price and himself being two powerhouses, two very brave powerhouses, might have, they effectively inspired the right thing and spoke for people that couldn't speak for themselves. So he is very, very popular and someone you want on your side. So it's hard to say. I don't know if he will jump to the Liberal Party, but if he did, I guarantee you the Liberal Party would be voted in.
The way I see this is, as Luna and Leon said, and Buckets, he's a big voice in the political sphere. The Liberal Party would take him on board like that, because after everything that's gone on in our country, we were almost down to our knees. And his voice, as you said, Luna, will cause a ripple. He's a big, big voice, powerful voice.
And having... to interrupt. I know we made an agreement not to. He's actually already with the Liberal Party here, Warren Mundine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I just did a checkup on that too while we were talking.
Well, there you go. There you go. Fact check. Beautiful. Okay. But as I said, since Leon has now mentioned he's in the political party, this campaign is going to get ruthless. That's why I think he's an incredible human being. Sad question. Leon, how would Jacinta Price factor in?
I think Jacinta Price is more More respected than I believe Warren Mundine at this time, because she stood up and she's always stood up for the indigenous community, specifically in the Northern Territory, where there was the first of all the reports of the child abuses and stuff like that over there in the Northern Territory. No politician wanted to go anywhere near that with a 10-foot pole. Jacinta Price did, and she stayed with it, and that's probably the reason why a lot of people do respect Jacinta Price. And I reckon she, as you guys mentioned the Minister for Indigenous Affairs. I think Jacinta Price would be perfect for that role, Minister for Indigenous Affairs, and maybe even potentially Deputy Prime Minister.
I agree.
Luna, same question. How would Jacinta Price factor in?
So there's one of two ways it's going to go. Number one, she's going to take her own path. And as Leon said, she's got more power than him already. So why would she follow anything that he does? Do you know what I mean? I can see it going either that way, that she takes her own path, makes her own statements, talks, you know, from her own party, whatever. Or she'll join along forces with him, and whatever happens between them, they'll make some sort of alliance happen, and their vote together will be quite a massive vote. Combined together, I can only imagine, like I said, the ripple effect that will create.
Buckets, how would Jacinta Price factor in?
Jacinta Price is extremely popular. She is an absolute powerhouse. She basically isn't just a female, although that would improve her chances of being voted in, especially amongst the feminists. Again, she's like Warren Mundine. She's happy to go against the grain and go against woke politics, and speak for people who could not or would not speak out for fear of being judged within their own communities. And that took a lot of guts. And it was a dangerous world for her and her community, because she was saying that her mother, who was 75 years old, actually got beaten for that, physically bludgeoned, right? So her family's been beaten. She's lost a family member, a young girl who actually hung horribly, and yet nonetheless that didn't silence her. In fact, if anything, it's actually made her fight harder. So I think she's got a real chance with the Liberal Party, and people naturally from both sides of politics will just naturally gravitate towards her. Even people from the Labour Party that have supported the Labour Party mostly all their lives or since they turned 18 would still see Jacinta Price as an amazing leader. And I think there's no way you could ignore her. There's no way you can ignore her. So if the Liberal Party wants to win, they need Jacinta Price to at least be either Prime Minister or Deputy Minister. And as Leon was saying, if they make her Minister of Aboriginal Affairs, effectively won. Okay, she's way too popular and she's way too respected. And I think Jacinta Price, and I know I'm waffling off of it, I think Jacinta Price is bringing back what the Australian people are missing from the Labor Party. So that's my two cents on it.
Okay, so how does Jacinta Price factor in it? You're all right. You all bring some valid points. I think Jacinta Price, her campaign was a campaign for the ages, let's call it that. And I think for her to create, as Luna said, to create her path for the future, to possibly break out and, you know, campaign to become our female prime minister. Could this happen in our lifetime? I do see it happening. And I wish her all the best. And I think she's going to be a major threat for the Labour campaign, Labour Party. Next question. due to the referendum being a complete failure, has this made Senator Pauline Hanson more popular, Leon?
I think a little bit. I think she's become a little bit more popular. I don't think by that much because, you know, we know her stance and she's been a very staunch supporter. I don't think it would have made much. I don't think it makes that much difference, even though, to be honest, these days everybody likes Pauline Hanson, especially for the cartoons that she keeps that she kept on releasing throughout 2023. Hopefully, see them again because that's actually quite funny. You should check them out if you haven't already checked them out. She does have some points, but there are some points where she may go a little bit too far extreme, but. As soon as she can find that balance, I think she would be a one to be reckoned with as well in Parliament. She is, don't get me wrong, she is. The fact that the Greens got up and walked out when she did her initial speech when she was voted back in the Senate and the Greens decided to stage a protest walkout shows you what kind of value that they are. She just needs to get her party members under control because sometimes her party members can be a detriment to what Pauline Hanson is trying to do.
Luna, due to the referendum being a complete failure, has this made Senator Pauline Hanson more popular?
In my opinion, no. In my opinion, she is an airhead, and I don't like any of the policies. Maybe there's some few small points that she makes, but majority of them are so bold and outright and just not needed. You know what I mean? We need someone to embrace our multicultural country and favor it and understand that everyone needs a little bit of everything, and I don't think she's the right person for the job. And the people who follow her and respect her and value her opinion over others, they have always followed her. She's always been around. She's always had the same opinion. True, guys. She's always been there saying what she means. And even, yes, I did see those cartoons, by the way, Leon. They were quite funny. But in my own opinion on them, they were at the expense of her in a little bit. They were a mocking type of thing. And, when I watched them, I laughed in a mockingly type of way a little bit. And, what can I say? The people who follow her, they were already meant to follow her, if that makes sense. So if it has gone up that she's got followers, it's not – people didn't vote no because of opinions like hers. We voted no because there wasn't enough information and we didn't want to divide. We want a country where everyone's united. And I know that's really sad and detrimental to our past and what happened, and I can only apologize for what happened in the past, you know what I mean, and try and communicate that a future going forward for Australia, I think, needs to be joined with unity 100%. We cannot be divided. We cannot be divided here. We need to be unified as a people.
Now, Buckus, to you. Due to the referendum being a complete failure, has this made Senator Pauline Hanson more popular?
Yes, it has. And I'll tell you why. If you actually listen to a few of Pauline Hanson's speeches, okay. When she was first in politics, the first time she was in politics, she was blaming the Asians for everything, and she was very, very, very racist. And everyone hated that, and for that reason, she was really unpopular, right? But then when she spoke about our own Australian history and drew to the fact that the Indigenous Australians are not the only Australians that live here, and noted that what happened to the Aboriginal people was horrible and shouldn't have happened, and we should never do anything like that to the Indigenous Australians ever again, but at the same time acknowledge the fact that there are different races that do live here, pay taxes, support their families and stuff like that. When she read that speech out, okay, and also I think the cartoons also helped her popularity as well. When she started doing those type of speeches, guess what? She got a bit more popular. And when people started to feel like they were being emotionally blackmailed or put into a box where they felt they were being silenced and were fearful of having freedom of speech, I think from that point on, when you had someone like Pauline Hanson that doesn't care about being silenced, that's when she started to get more popular. So anyone that basically broke all the rules, broke all the woke rules, and decided to speak out and had no fear whatsoever doing it, these are the people that got really popular. And Pauline Hanson was one of them. And you can hate Pauline Hanson for a lot of her policies. I didn't agree with her immigration policies, to be perfectly honest. But I do have to agree with her when she says, we are all Australians. There isn't just one type of Australian. We're all Australians. You either came from another country and lived here and worked here and started your family here and integrated with the Australian life here, or you were born here and you're Indigenous and you've been here for tens of thousands of years. But either way, you're all Australians. And I think that's probably the biggest point that Pauline Hanson has raised, and everyone understands that. So it is, as Leon was saying, Pauline Hanson needs to find the balance. I think she's found the balance, and that's what that balance is, and that's why she's getting a little bit more respect than she did in the 90s.
Okay, mine's going to be short and sweet. Does this make Senator Pauline Hanson more popular? I am like Leon, I'm going to say 50-50. I do not like Senator Pauline Hanson. I do not like her policies. I do not like her personality. But on the Richter scale, she has made some points recently that were valid, and I validate that. Her cartoons are hellish funny, and we have, and because of her cartoons, we have been hearing and seeing and noticing Senator Pauline Hanson more and more with her speeches in Parliament. But other than that, is she more popular? Sorry, Senator. Mara says no. Absolutely not. None whatsoever. Will she continue being popular? Absolutely not. I don't think so. No. But I do agree with what she's, you know, she does have some points, but no, I don't think she does. Moving on. Leon, do former prime ministers have great over potential prime ministers? Leon.
Looks like he's frozen.
Oh no.
Okay. That's okay. I guess we could just skip to the next person, I suppose.
Yeah, Luna, do former prime ministers have great influence over potential prime ministers?
Oh, depends who it is. Really depends who it is and their involvement level in politics after their prime ministry. There's definitely been some more popular ones up there, but in terms of the less popular ones, I doubt they have any influence over anything. And in saying that, there has been a few that have stayed on into politics afterwards. And I do believe they had a little bit of influence. In what ways? One who was the prime minister of the country is always their opinion's always going to be kind of respected in that area, I believe. No matter what, if you retire a little back and you know you drop down maybe a promotion level or two, and you run the house of whatever it is, or the Ministry of Health, whatever it is that you are a part of, I think if you whatever they're a part of, their opinion would have been respected and validated.
Buckets. Do former prime ministers have great influence over potential prime ministers?
Absolutely, they do. You know what? This is the thing. I don't believe that Albanese would have been voted in if he was doing his own campaigning without Kevin Rudd. Kevin Rudd effectively won Scott Morris's, Albanese's campaign for him, because everyone loved Kevin Rudd. Everyone still loves Kevin Rudd. When Kevin Rudd brought us out of the recession, Kevin Rudd did a lot of stuff. Everyone respected him. And then even when he was out of politics, Kevin Rudd kept working. So with Kevin Rudd is the effective messiah of the effective Australian Labor Party. And so everyone looked up to him. And so when he said Albanese did A, B, C, D, E, everyone was like, oh, well, that's amazing. We should totally vote this person in. But I tell you right now, if he did not have the support of Kevin Rudd, if Albanese had no support from Kevin Rudd, we wouldn't have voted him in. And there's a really high chance that Scott Morrison would have gotten another term in politics for sure. Okay, but then again, look who supported Scott Morrison. Only the second longest serving prime minister, which was John Howard. But you know what? A lot of people hated John Howard. They didn't like him. They didn't like the fact that he was in there so long. They didn't like the fact that we went to Iraq with him. We didn't like the fact that we were continuously going into wars. He made our country very, very rich. But a lot of people hated John Howard. So that was probably the worst choice to pick as far as someone to actually support you. So to be honest, his influences, yes, absolutely. You get someone that's popular, you get someone that's popular prime minister and a well-beloved, loved prime minister, and that is the difference between a win and a loss. So yes, I absolutely 100% true.
This is how I see it. Do former prime ministers have great influence over up-and-coming political prime ministers? The answer is a massive yes, a T1. And I have to go with you, The thing is, people like Kevin Rudd, people like John Howard, people like Malcolm Turnbull, have all been prime ministers, Julia Gillard, Paul Keating. They've all had massive influence over the last federal election. Okay, they all went out and they campaigned for Scott Morrison and Anthony Albanese. It was a bloodbath. I think they do have the power of influence because they use their social media to go live and to talk to the general public and to go out in the streets and take, you know, photo ops, selfies, shake hands, you know, write letters, do TV interviews, radio interviews. You know, it's the way of swaying the public. It's the way of getting the public on side. It's the way of, you know, telling the public what they want to hear, not what they should hear. But yes, I think they have a great power of influence, and that's how they promote as well, and how the general public sees them in the eye. Like you had Gladys Berejiklian, who wasn't a former prime minister, who campaigned for Scott Morrison. That's my theory.
But Gladys Berejiklian at that time was very popular. People loved her. There were some people that didn't like her, obviously, but she was very, very popular. And I don't think that Scott Morrison could have won by himself if Gladys wasn't on the meal ticket, okay? A lot of people like Gladys Berejiklian. I always get that wrong.
Berejiklian.
The Armenian community loved Gladys Berejiklian. I think if Gladys Berejiklian wasn't on the meal ticket, Scott Morrison would have never won. There's no way.
Now, I do have to, before we go on, I do have to apologize for Leon. His internet dropped out. He's going to try and come back in really, really soon if he can. Okay, carrying on. Luna, does the next generation influence future political parties?
100%. Gen Z is a powerful force. I'm going to say that. Gen Z, literally the millennials, I'm going to say this, right? Millennials used to kind of control the trends of the internet. Considering that we were kind of like born into that, you know, with technology going into the boom when we were like young kids. So when Gen Z came into it, they started, if you've noticed now, there's a massive amount of Gen Z in advertising, in newspapers, in all sorts of advertising for all sorts of businesses. You see cute little TikTok videos and you get confused because it's not like the right type of marketing that you would expect in that type of, you know, industry or whatever it is. That's the influence Gen Z has right now. And I can see that once they have their sights set on something, they can really influence the generation above them and the generation below them too. And they have the power to change everything, honestly. In terms of how they will influence the vote, this is what I've heard. Gen Z don't want young, old people anymore. Gen Z want fresh, young, good ideas, fresh ideas, thinking about the future, that type of stuff. So in terms of how their vote is going to go and how it's going to change things, I can see that especially once Gen Z reaches the age of, let's say, 60, they will be the massivest influence on the vote in Australia, 100%.
Leon, here's a question I'm going to throw at you. All right, bro. How does the next gen influence future political parties? And welcome back.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, by the way. Sorry about that, guys. I had a little bit of an issue with the internet here. The new generation does have a big influence on how the next generation people are going to vote. Right now, I think the newer generation wanting to get behind the environment situation, which is fair enough. That'll be a major influence for the latest generation of people. I don't know. They will influence the future generations. I think the future generations will go to a more environmentally friendly, environmentally friendly future. But yeah, that's the way I believe is what's going to happen.
Buckets, here's the same question. How does the next gen influence future political parties?
Well, now I know you know this answer, but who basically supported Biden at all of her rock concerts? Who was that?
Taylor Swift.
That's right, Taylor Swift. Now, I don't know if you know this, right? But for every concert that Taylor Swift went to, the first thing she actually said was, vote for Biden. And even for people that weren't even old enough to vote, they still preferenced Biden purely because Taylor Swift said, vote for Biden. So in other words, what TikTokers do and Gen Zs do and stuff like that, if it becomes part of a trend of popularity, even if they don't even know what the policies are, okay, if it's popular at the time, if it is popular to vote a certain way, regardless of what the policies actually are, which is scary by itself, but if it's popular to vote for a particular person, they will follow, everyone is just going to follow suit because it's fun, it's popular, and they're in the in crowd. And I think Luna's 100% correct when she said they're going to vote for people that are just like them, that are younger, that know, that are into the same things that they're into, that are into the same musicians that they're into. Why do you think Albanese is going to Midnight Oil and all of those other things? Because he wants to attract people that are actually into Midnight Oil.
Being relatable is everything on the internet, and the internet is everything in terms of advertising.
So I think Gen Z and the new TikTokers out there have a massive contribution to influencing who you're most likely going to vote for. And I'd like to make an example of that. Friendly Geordies is always supporting the Labor Party. And to be honest, if Friendly Geordies didn't exist, that would be like a massive contribution that the Labor Party would have easily lost.
Now, here's what I think. As Leon has spoken, I agree. As Luna and Buckets have spoken, I agree. So I'm not going to circle it. I am, however, going to say TikTok is the young generation, the next generation, are watching and they're listening and they're following and they're writing down every single policy that comes out of these men's mouth. and they're going, we want this, we demand that, we need this, we need that. And they're not silly. They know that happening. They know what's going on. As all of you said, plenty of buckets have said, they get their friends together and they go live and they create this group on TikTok where it's all about, you know, Albanese versus, what's his name? Peter Dutton.
Yeah.
And they will go on each other's lives and they will connect with the general public. They know the happenings. They know the policies in and out. They're not silly. They hear everything. And they follow Sky News, ABC. They do their homework.
The ones that understand it then communicate it to the ones that don't understand it in a way that they can, and then they're recruited.
And when they volunteer on the day of the actual campaign, their friends will come out early in the morning and help them campaign once they've voted, because they want to make sure that their friends have voted for the right political party with the right choices, the right ideals for them, so that the generation after them comes forward and says, we did the right thing.
Can I say something about, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting. You know, I'm gonna lose brownie points for this, but nonetheless, do you know why a lot of people don't like Peter Dutton? It's got very little to do with his policies. It's got more to do with the fact that people know him as a buffhead, because Albanese called him a buffhead. And if he's not known as a buffhead, he's known as a potato face, Mr. Potato Head. It's true. And although that sounds really, really funny, and I found that absolutely hilarious, that's who he's known as. So no one really gives a crap about, excuse the language, no one cares about his policies. All I can remember about him is Albanese called him a buffhead in Parliament.
But don't forget, Peter Dutton once was a cop. So it's not like he doesn't know what's in the know in the now, right? He used to be a cop, so he should know the law inside out, right? Albanese used to be a DJ. Yes. You know, you said he goes to all these parties, and you said Midnight Oil, because he used to be a DJ. He's the relatable thing. He keeps saying, I'm a DJ.
He's also an accountant as well.
And he goes to all these parties because he wants the younger generation, the next gen, to look at him and go, oh, wow, he's young and hip and, you know, he's cool and, you know, he knows music and I've even seen photos of him going to, like, live bands and stuff like that. I mean, besides being our prime minister, he wants the young ones or the younger generation to go, oh, he's cool, he's so smart, he's hip, he's cool, he's this, that. Gravy, you know, cool as a cucumber. But I think a lot of TikTokers do have, a lot of Gen Z are smart, and they have what it takes to influence not just their friends, but their family members. And this is going to be a big one. This is going to be the big one to watch. Final question. Here we go, the roll of dice. Leon, how has Albanese lost favour from the Australian public?
Well, I think what happened is when he went all in on the voice referendum, he went all, pardon the potential gambling pun, but he went all in and lost. That was when he started to lose favor with the people, especially, and I said it at the start, and you can't help but bringing yourself back to it. We have a cost of living crisis at the moment, and he was focused on the voice. I mean, unfortunately, like, there's nothing, I don't have anything against the voice, but this wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time to do it. He went all in and lost. When the right and the left, and I'm talking about Jacinta Price and also Lydia Thorpe, the right and the left, when they both said that this wasn't going to work, that this was a bad idea, that voice referendum was doomed, no matter what kind of spin that everyone tried to put on it. That was when it went downhill, and it has not stopped going downhill for Anthony Albanese. In the latest polls now show that the ALP is in danger of now being a one-term government is the word I'm looking for. But when the crap rolls downhill, it's going to land on Albanese, and it has been going on, been rolling downhill on Anthony Albanese ever since this. and he's still going backwards and he can't find the way out of it. Unfortunately, he could find a cure for cancer tomorrow and it wouldn't matter. Because once that starts to snowball, you don't come back from it. Unfortunately, it's very hard to come back and get back the momentum that you once had.
Fair enough. Good call. Luna, how has Albanese lost favour from the Australian people?
Every move he's made. He started off so strong, so many promises, so many this, that, and look what he's kind of done. Do you know what I mean? Especially in the referendum, like Leon said, he focused so heavily on that he, what about the rest of the issues at the same time? Like, I understand that, you know, it was happening at that moment, so focus on it. But at the same time, we really are going through a cost of living crisis, and that's making a lot of people in the world stressed. A lot of people, they struggled at Christmas. They couldn't give their kids Christmas. Little things like that. Like, I know that maybe they had a roof over their head, but things like that, when that's on your mind, you don't, you act in a way that's out of survival, which is kind of selfish in a way. And if he had to focus more on all those things, he would have been voted in the next time again. He had to focus on both, made both things important, really made time for the Australian people, then he would have been voted in again, 100%. But he's going to get voted out. Nobody likes him anymore. That's it. He can do whatever he wants now. Like Philip said before, he could find it. Whoever said that, sorry, he'd find a cure for cancer. It's not going to help him. It will not help him at this point. He's gonna go.
Okay. I think the biggest problem. Okay, so there's about a few problems that Albanese has done. One, he's ignored the cost of living crisis. Two, he's ignored the need for a rental freeze. Three, he promised to have the gas and water bills and electricity bills cheaper. They've actually gone up than ever before. It's actually the highest that we've ever had in Australia. Four, he spent more time overseas than he has in his own country. I think Leon made the joke earlier that he said, we finally get to see Albanese in 7 months. What a surprise, you know. I just laughed at that, you know. The other thing is, I think 80% of his campaign has been virtue signaling. So he's tried to virtue signal with the Indigenous Australians, but all that's done is divided the country. And when you have a prime minister that's legit divided Australians against each other, that is so bad. That is ridiculously bad. When we voted Albanese together, we were all one. And then within a couple of months, we're all against each other as if it's a civil war, purely due to bad policy, bad advertising, and arrogance, absolute arrogance. It's almost like he just switched off listening to the Australian people. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's just a one-term prime minister, or if he ever gets in by the skin of his teeth, he's going to have to basically appease to all the independents and the other parties to stay in. But right now, his popularity is kaput. Like I said, Luna, he can literally do whatever he wants, but I don't see him being voted in the next election.
Okay. Has Albanese lost favour with the Australian public? You've all mentioned some strong, valid points here, and I validate all of you. My short sweet answer would be, let's not forget the $450 million that he spent on this campaign alone. When that $450 could have gone to cost of living, to rental freeze, rent caps, to food, to now we're seeing supermarkets gouging us customers and price hiking things that shouldn't be that high. The price of petrol, gas, electricity is, don't forget he has people sleeping in Marrickville in tents because they were kicked out of their home. Outside his home in Marrickville, they're sleeping in tents because they cannot afford to pay rent. People like us are afraid to lose our homes because he does not care. He's out of touch with all of us. He's out of touch with the Australian public. And as Bucket said, if he gets into the skin of his teeth, he's going to have a lot of
appeasing,
pleasing to do. But it, his time is done. He's constantly going here, there, and everywhere. When his promise was, when the going gets tough, I'm going to stay. I won't leave my country behind. I won't leave my citizens behind. And all of a sudden, he's gone the very next day. He got elected on day one of his.
It sounds like he's stalling in a way.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Is this the end for him? I'm praying that I hope so that it is, but who knows? He could get back in. I mean, this is not looking good at all whatsoever. And I think, as obviously, he's gone backwards way too much to go forward now. And it's a mess that he's not going to be able to clean up. He can't clean up his own lies, his own hypocrisy, his own mistakes, his own, you know, he talks about climate change. I'm a big believer in climate change. I really am. I love the environment. But when you're talking about climate change and you get on a jet plane that has a lot of fuel in it and you're traveling the world in that jet plane, I'm sorry, you're a hypocrite.
The joke that I made, by the way, to Phil was, I'm assuming Albanese will be flying to Australia soon.
But that's my two cents. If you're talking about climate change and net zero by 2030 or 2050, that's a great thing to have, but you're a hypocrite because you're getting on a jet plane and you're flying.
Well, can I say something? I think it's one of the biggest scares that every prime minister has is that they don't want a power outage. So for him to say, hey, we're just going to get rid of coal, and we're only going to have solar instead, it's just simply not feasible. It really isn't.
There was one more thing I wanted to bring to the table, which was he plans on in these new houses to take away gas. I'm sorry, it's a dumb idea. I'm sorry, I don't agree with, you know, electric cooking. I'm sorry, no, it doesn't work for me. I think it's a bad idea. I think he's way over his head, and I think he needs to bow out. And if he gets in, I believe they could backdoor him pretty quickly. His own party could and possibly turn against him and backdoor him for somebody else. Younger, smarter, you know, a bit more promising, in touch with the people, you know, has brains on him, has smarts on him, has wits. That's all I gotta say about that.
Can I say like one thing? I used to be a chef, right? For the Peachtree Hotel, and I was trained at Ride Safe also to be a chef. And I can guarantee you right now that every person that's either training to be a chef or is in a chef role would be bouncing their head against a brick wall if they all made us basically use electric instead of gas. Because chefs love working with gas, but they hate working with electric.
Mm.
Okay, they just hate it, but that's another story.
Anyways, well, that was a great topic. I'm glad we all got into it, sunk our teeth into it. Let us know what you think. Please, once again, thank you so much for the subscribers and viewers. It would mean a lot to us if you press the subscribe button, because that will give us more content to work on. The bell will allow us to produce those contents for you, and you can comment and like our stuff for us on the bottom where Leon's showing you, and let us know what you think. We are in the process of writing down some questions. Thursday is the big, 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 big podcast. We're coming live from Sydney, Australia
and Melbourne.
Their Majesties, Queen Mary of Denmark and King King Frederick X of Denmark. We are getting ready for that. So we'll see you guys on Thursday. Thank you so much for joining, and God bless, and let us know what you think. Until then, peace, love, and unity. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.